I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. Nobody can touch me.
With a brand new episode of CM Jews Wrestling Reviews. This is episode 26. And on this episode, we continue our look at the Thanksgiving Classic, that is WWE's Survivor Series, as we take a look at the year that introduced one of the most wonderful and chaotic and carnage matches of all time. I am talking about the brainchild of Eric Bischoff, the Elimination Chamber, as we take a look at Survivor Series 2002. That and more right here on CMG's Wrestling Reviews on the Absolution Network. Like I said, all that and more because, from time to time, things happened in the present day that need to be talked about. And if I had done this podcast when I wanted to about a week earlier, I probably would be talking about it on this. But things happened, and this weekend I'm releasing a bunch of podcasts. Depending on when this is released, if this is released Saturday, it's on the same day as the last episode of CMG's Wrestling Reviews, which I've had. On my computer, just didn't have time to edit it, and I finally was able to get around to edit it. Same for another podcast. And so I'm going to have a bunch of podcasts that I'm releasing on the Absolution Network because I just not had time to edit everything. That being said, because of this, this is being released on the weekend after Thanksgiving, as such for all those who know. Yeah, something happened around Wednesday night. Something that had people wake me up at 2 a.m. in the GD morning. Like, oh my god, this happened. And of course, talking about the CM Punk recently revealed all on Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling. And the internet was broken in half. Again. You know, sooner or later, folks, we're going to run out of duct tape. You know that, right? Stop breaking the fucking internet! We only got one! I swear to God. It was earlier this morning, technically, because we didn't start till midnight, but technically it was last night, on Friday night, when we recorded, because on Manny J's WrestleCast, who was my guest host, for the last episode of CMJ's review, we talked about it. And, we had fun talking about it there, but I kind of want to talk about it again here. It's just me talking about it. And I kind of have the same feeling about the thing, about what CM Punk said, that may or may not piss people off. Again, let me preface this by one. We can all admit that WWE was a dick. But this should be shocking as far as I'm concerned, because we all know that the WWE can be a giant dick. If you don't, just ask Bret fucking Hart. Okay? If you piss people off in the WWE, they will be a giant dick to you. So let's establish that before I talk about my comments about what Punk said, that yes, WWE is a giant dick. Let me also preface by saying this is my feelings of what he said mean nothing against the person of Phil Brooks, a.k.a. CM Punk. I am sure he is a wonderful person when he's in a good mood. Okay? I mean, obviously, he's TMZ's favorite, so there's a lot of stuff that are said, like, you know, the thing like, he yelled at a fan who wanted his autograph in a Hawks game. It's like, I wasn't surprised that was a lie. So, getting on to what he said, for the most part, I really wasn't surprised by anything. My feeling of it is, the story he pretty much told is two parties that were very angry and had a very bitter, angry divorce with each other. Pretty much everything we knew. I mean, people are like, but he got his termination papers on his wedding day. Like, okay, dick move, but my feeling is Triple H tried to call him to talk about him. He sent him a text, "Can I talk to you for 5 minutes?" My feeling is I know Maddie, Jay, if he's listening to this, will argue with me this, and we'll just have to agree to disagree. But my feeling is, I'm sorry. He reached out. He needed to talk to you. You should have answered. I understand, yes, it's a wedding. He's busy and all that. But still, you couldn't answer. I mean, I'm sorry. You have one of the highest-ranking officials of WWE wanting to talk to you for 5 minutes. Me, personally, I would have picked up the phone. That's me, regardless of what I was doing at the nearest quick moment. It's just me. So, and as far as all the health reasons, it's... yeah, okay. The doctors may be idiots, but how do you have something that's a MAR affection, which is like a massive staph affection, and not go to the hospital for 3 fucking months. I mean, I'm sorry, it's not like you go to backwater towns when you're like an independent wrestler. You're part of WWE, you're going to major cities, all of which they have a hospital. I'm sorry, you should have taken yourself to the hospital. You have to have personal responsibility for your own health. If there is something wrong with you, you go to the hospital. Because I'm sorry, the WWE is not going to fire you because you had a massive affection and can't wrestle. Do you know the lawsuits they would have and how bad that would look upon them? They're not. It's like, what would Harley Race do? And what would John Cena do? You're not Harley Race, and you're not John Cena. Stop trying to be fucking John Cena. Oy vey. It's just, look, I understand. Yes, WWE is dicks, but we know the WWE can be dicks. Okay? It's just... But if you really listen to the podcast, the way Punk talks about things and where the way he openly admits to basically being a dick himself, you know, yeah, I'm not surprised they were a dick to somebody who's the way he's talking openly admits to being basically a prima donna. I get it. He feels he's worth something. But, you know, the world doesn't revolve around you sometimes. I'm sorry, it has to be said. The way Punk came off sometimes, he sounded as if he thought the world should revolve around him because he felt he had the best matches. Yes, he had great matches. You know what? That doesn't mean the world should revolve around you. Okay? It's like, I'm sorry, he's right. There was one main event. It was Cena and Rock. And that was the correct main event because it was the end of a storyline. Yes, it sucks, but that was the main event. So it's, the Punk thing, it just, maybe I have a bad feeling because I was woken up by at 2 a.m. in the GD morning by several friends, like, oh my god, did you hear what CM Punk said? I'm like, no, I don't give a fuck. It's 2 a.m. in the goddamn morning, and I have a fucking cold, and I want to go to fucking sleep. You know? So. Anyways, let's move from something that is full of negativity. Let's move to something positive, shall we? Let's go over to our review of Survivor Series 2002. Of course, let's give the rundown first before we get into the review. Survivor Series 2002, featuring the commentators of Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler for Raw, Michael Cole and Taz for SmackDown, and Carlos Cabrera and Hugo Savinovich as the Spanish announced team. Winner interviews Jonathan Coachman and Terry Reynolds, and of course, ring announcers Howard Finkel and Tony Chimmel. Survivor Series 2002, I'm trying to look to see if there was a tagline that isn't, featuring the brands of Raw and SmackDown, takes place on November 17th, 2002, with an attendance of 17,930 at the world's greatest arena of Madison Square Garden in New York City, New York. Theme song featured, provided by Saliva. With their song Always. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into Survivor Series 2002. Welcome back, and let's get right into it. Let's start off, because we have to talk about the dark match that I haven't seen, so I really can't comment on about, but I want to at least mention that it was considered part of the event, and that was a tag team match of Lance Storm and William Regal versus Goldust and the Hurricane, to which Storm and Regal won. Lance Storm and William Regal together? I would love to see that, but alas, I can't. So let's go on to the first match that we didn't see. After all the intros and the extravagances were done taking place, our first match of the evening is a six-man elimination tables match. Now, it has to be added, by the way, that this pay-per-view, I believe, was one of the first to happen right after the brand extension. I believe it did, because 2002, the brand extension had been happening for a year, because there were things that involved, brands getting together. As we'll see with this match, or people who used to be tag team partners, who are now not tag team partners, coming together. Our first match is the Dudley Boys, but not Devon, as these Dudley Boys are Bubba Ray and Spike Dudley, and Jeff Hardy, of all people, versus 3 Minute Warning, a.k.a. Rosie, Jamal, and Rico. This was an absolutely fantastic match. opening match, and my God, it got the crowd into it. I mean, you know, 3-minute warning were super hot as heels at the time, and, you know, the crowd popped for the Dudleys and for Hardy, you know, because again, and they even make mention of it in the commentary about, you know, the, you know, we're talking about Hardy and the Dudleys, about the match they had in Madison Square Garden at Royal Rumble 2000, a Rumble we will be talking about later this year. When I'm going to, and I can confirm, I'm going to be joined by a TWK for that one. But yeah, just great back and forth. The first, you know, elimination spike with the wheelbarrow suplex by Jamal and Rosie was an awesome spot. I mean, oh my God, that looked like it hurt. Of course, you had the perennial Jeff Hardy jumps the fuck off a high object. In the case of Madison Square Garden, jumps from an entranceway, drew somebody on a table. In this case, it's Rosie. He jumps through. He eliminates him with a Swanton Bomb off the entranceway. Not the WWE entranceway, but one of the, what's it called? Like, they go into the crowd, and there's the entrance to the concession stands in the crowd, and he climbs on one of those and does the Swanton Bomb after, you know, Bubba helps set Rosie on a table. My God, it's like, oh my God, left is right is left. Fish are walking out of water, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysterica! Bill Murray, your check is in the mail. but Bubba Ray sets Rosie on the table, and Hardy hits the Swanton Bomb. That was a great spot. Great back and forth action. You know, Hardy gets defeated by Jamal with a splash off. You know, he sits outside the ring, sets Hardy on a table, climbs to the top of the rope, does this huge splash that's huge. And then it looks like, oh, they're getting the best of him. The awesome powerbomb elimination of Jamal by Bubba was awesome. And then you have, you know, 3-minute warning coming out and everything, and they're setting up to, you know, help Rico win. But out comes Devon Dudley, clears the ring, sets Rico up, and 3D! Oh my God, it was awesome. It's like, great way to end the match. You have Devon and Bubba, you know, hugging, you know, posing to the crowd. Of course, you also see that already extremely hurt, being helped to the back. Oh my God, it was amazing. It was just a great opening match. It got the crowd so hyped up. And you know, that's what you want an opening match to do. Our next match was the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. And this was just a good, solid Cruiserweight match. You had Jamie Noble, who was the champion, versus Billy Kidman. Jamie Noble, of course, who made his in-ring return this past Monday night on Raw. Jamie Noble, of course, accompanied by the lovely Nydia. You know, great back and forth match, told a great story again. Jamie Noble and Nydia were just great in character. Nydia getting involved many times. Of course, Billy Kidman. It was this great story of Jamie Noble, who is this tough wrestler, but he's that small dog in the fight who's up against bigger dogs, and like Jamie Noble looked dominant in this match, and I love that. It's like, you know, again, Jamie Noble playing the heel perfectly. And of course, Jamie Noble finally getting the best of him, getting the win with a shooting star press, and then going out into the crowd. Mind you, Jamie Noble, Billy Kidman came out to his new music in this pay-per-view. So that was kind of a dead giveaway. Like, oh yeah, he's going to win. So, it, just a solid match. And that shooting star press was just a thing of beauty. It's always a thing of beauty to see Billy Kidman shooting star press. You know, I really think that at the end of the day, there were other people who did it. But Billy Kidman is the one that got so many people wanting to do that move. Our next match is for the WWE Women's Championship, as it features the WWE Women's Champion Trish Stratus, not the Divas Champion, the Women's Champion Trish Stratus, versus Victoria, who had just recently debuted in the WWE, and I believe this may have been her or at least one of her debut matches, in a hardcore match. Just for the fact that I saw this as a hardcore match, like, okay, this match is going to be better than almost every Divas match that comes out. Oh, by the way, as opposed to this past Sunday, where AJ Lee and Nikki got 20 seconds, this match was 7 minutes and 29 seconds long. It was the 7 minutes, 1 second long. I'm sorry, it was the 5th longest match of the night. All the matches got pretty good time, with the exception of, oddly enough, the next match we'll cover in a second. But my God, this was a brutal match. Oh my God. Back when women were allowed to fucking wrestle, and back when women were allowed to have smoking hot bodies and have personality. This is why we love this fucking era. I mean, we don't expect them to be dressed in fucking sling bikinis, but God damn it, you can't let these divas have fucking personality, and you can't let some of the divas have actual smoking hot, healthy bodies. You know, it's... I'm getting on a timer. I'm going to get away from that. Because this match was awesome. I mean, you had a diva with a bloody fucking nose. I mean, if there was one thing that I found offensive, it was that there was an ironing board as a weapon underneath the ring. It's like, oh, women in your ironing. Fuck you, WWE. But outside of that, I mean, Singapore canes, fire extinguishers, broomsticks and trash can lids, and oh my God! I mean, you felt these shots! Like, this is a solid hardcore. This is hardcore match is better than most hardcore matches men do. Okay? If this match was taking place in ECW, the crowd would be going fucking wild. And the crowd was going fucking wild for this. So, just a great solid match from Trish and Victoria. Victoria picking up the win when she activates a fire extinguisher in Trish's face and then does a suplex while she's blinded. Now, our next match is The Big Show versus Brock Lesnar and his manager, Paul Heyman, for the WWE Championship. Of course, Brock Lesnar is the WWE Champion. This was a very controversial match because this was the match in which Paul Heyman turned on Brock Lesnar. Too bad he won't do it now. Oh, I hope that, again, I go back to that. That would be so awesome if the next WWE pay-per-view, the title's on the line, and Paul Heyman turns on Brock Lesnar. Oh, God, I would love to see it. But this is actually the shortest match of the night, and because it was to tell a story. And it told it really good, because it was such a shocking turn of events. No one expected Paul Heyman to turn on Brock Lesnar. And so Big Show picks the title and becomes WWE Champion. So even though it was a short match, the story it told was so shocking that it couldn't help be good in its own way, even though it was just short. Our next match of the evening is before the main event, mind you. The final match before the main event is a triple threat tag team match for the WWE Championship between Los Guerreros of Eddie and Chavo Guerrero, Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit, and the WWE Tag Team Champions Edge and Rey Mysterio. This was just a good, solid match. It just went back and forth and back. And you really go, you got lost in this match. Like, oh my God, who's going to win? And, you know, and part of it was they had, this was a pay-per-view in which, like this past year's SummerSlam, every title changed hand. Of course, we didn't know at the time. And so before this, you know, every title had changed hand. Everybody was predicting that the World Heavyweight title would change in the Elimination Chamber, which is the next match. I paused on what the name of the match was. I'm sorry. And so, and again, and I actually had this idea. T-Dub, by the way, you're right. Every title did change hand. But I could have sworn that it didn't. So I went into this thinking that, oh, this is the title that Edge and Rey retained. And so I was shocked when Los Guerreros won it. But you know what? It was a great match back and forth. You know, Los Guerreros being classic, or should I say vintage Los Guerreros with the lying, the cheating, and the stealing. You know, it told the story of the, you know, deteriorating relationship between Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle, which would lead up to one of the greatest matches of all time at the Royal Rumble in 2003. And, you know, again, Edge and Christian were a great, I mean, Ed, not Edge and Christian, Edge and Rey Mysterio were a great tag team, and this would lead to, you know, them continuing to be a tag team a lot. So just a solid match all around. Of course, Los Guerreros becoming the tag team champions. Now, before the main event, Christopher Nowinski came out and basically did an insulting promo about how New York City and its citizens are stupid. This is followed by Matt Hardy, who came out to basically sit here and say, no, no, you're wrong. They're not stupid. They're just losers. Or it was the other way around. Okay. One was saying they're losers. One was saying they're stupid. Like, let's just agree that they're both stupid and losers. Then the siren goes off. And you hear, holla! If you hear me! Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is the technically we can't call it the WWE debut of Scott Steiner. Because Scott Steiner had been in the WWE before. But this was the debut of Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner in the WWE. So Big Papa Pump comes out, literally just manhandles both Christopher Nowinski and Matt Hardy, and tells the New York City crowd, my name is Big Papa Pump, and this is for all my freaks out there. Big Papa Pump got your hookup. Holla if you hear me. You know, say what you want about Scott Steiner. God damn it, when he doesn't mess up a promo, it's a damn good promo, and he's entertaining to watch. So, with that, let's move on to our main event of the evening. Our main event is the Elimination Chamber match. We're featuring Rob Van Dam, Kane, Triple H, who is the current champion, Chris Jericho, Booker T, and the showstopper Shawn Michaels. It started off with Triple H and RVD, and my God, you know, RVD at this point in time had been doing a lot of building towards becoming, showing that he was a main event star. This was another one of those matches that really showcased because he was in it for a long, long time. Even though he'd be part of the first elimination, it happened after Rob Van Dam hit a spectacular spot, the 5-star frog splash off the top of one of the chamber pods onto Triple H. Of course, Booker T would then pin him. Chris Jericho also said, Chris Jericho would eliminate two people. He would eliminate Booker T, and he would eliminate Kane, both with lion salts. And of course, that would set up the, you know, him being eliminated by him going for the Walls of Jericho on Triple H. And Shawn Michaels ending the Sweet Chin Music. So just a great back and forth. It was brutal. I mean, this Elimination Chamber, the best way to describe it is, it was like the very first Hell in a Cell, the first at Bad Blood between Shawn Michaels and Undertaker. You know, it was the first time ever of that match, and Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, while putting on a good match, had to also showcase just what the Hell in a Cell was about. And that's what all these wrestlers had to do. They had to showcase just what, you know, what the Elimination Chamber was all about. And everything that happened in Elimination Chamber showed you, wow, just all the unique things that could really happen in this match, while at the same time not doing absolutely everything that could be done. You know, they did a lot while at the same time leaving enough for other people to do in the Elimination Chamber. Of course, the great finish to where Shawn Michaels hits the Sweet Chin Music and he pins Triple H. It was this great combination of this rivalry that happened between Triple H and Shawn Michaels. And of course, this was officially Shawn Michaels. You know, Shawn Michaels is back. The Showstopper is back, and he is once again champion. And it was a great way to end the pay-per-view. The sight of him in the Elimination Chamber with the title and confetti coming down in Madison Square Garden, it was just an awesome sight. And one thing that has to be said, the commentary team was awesome. The crowd, this was a New York City crowd. All night long, the crowd was into every match, and that made the pay-per-view so much more special. So just, oh my God, this was a really good pay-per-view. There is a reason I think a lot of people do consider this one of the best Survivor Series of all time. Because every match from front to back was just solid. I mean, not a bad match. Every match was good. A few great matches. So before I get my rant, what are my favorites though? Let's go down my favorite moments. Number three, RVD with the frog splash off the pod. I mean, he blew out his knee on that thing. I mean, goddamn, man, but it was an awesome spot. Number two, the brutal, you know, kendo shots by Trish on fucking Victoria. I have to give it up to that Divas match. I mean, there's so many. I mean, you could talk about Paul Heyman turning on Brock Lesnar. That was a moment, definitely. But for me, like, the brutal shot that caused Victoria's nose to bleed. Oh, God, that was brutal. And my number one spot, Jeff's Swanton Bomb threw Rosie on the table. Because no matter how many times he does it, you never get tired of seeing it. It was just great all around. As hard as it is to pick my three favorite matches, because all of them were great, for me, my top three are, number three is the Triple Threat Tag Team match. Just a great match all around, and just wonderfully wrestled. You got to watch great tag team wrestling happen for basically 20 minutes. It was awesome. Number two, the opening six-man tables match. Again, great way to open the pay-per-view. It got the crowd into it. Was it a spot fest? Absolutely. But oh my God, what a spot fest it was. It was wonderful. And number one, and I think this is one of the key reasons why this is not just one of the best Survivor Series of all time, it's one of the best pay-per-views WWE has put on for a long time. My best match of the night was the Elimination Chamber. Because when you have your main event as the best match of the night, that is one of the number one signs of putting on a just outstanding, stellar, amazing pay-per-view. And as great as all the matches on the undercard were, you know, the main event lived up to its expectations. And it was just great. Great storytelling, great wrestling, great performances from everybody in the chamber. It was just fun to watch. So as far as ratings are concerned, you know what? I give Survivor Series 2002 a 5 out of 5. Front to back, this was just an outstanding, wonderful, stellar pay-per-view. You know, front to back. It opened with an absolutely wonderful, you know, table elimination match that was just wonderful to watch. The entire undercard just, you know, tried to steal the show. But at the end of the night, as great of a job as they did to steal the show, it was definitely a matter of the main event did steal the show because it was the first of a kind and it lived up to its expectations of being brutal, of being brutal, of being carnage. And give it up to, you know, you may hate Eric Bischoff, but give it up for this one because he came up with a fantastic idea. So Survivor Series 2002 gets a 5 out of 5 for me. It is a must-watch pay-per-view, and I think whenever November comes around and you have, okay, here's my list of Survivor Series that I should watch, 2002 has to be one of them. So that is it for this episode of CMG's Wrestling Reviews. I thank you for joining me. Remember, there's ways to contact the show if you want to contact me. One, you can contact the show. Absolution Network 132 at gmail.com. That's Absolution Network 132 at gmail.com. You can also contact the show on our Stitcher, which I will hopefully soon be updating. I have to update the feed first, and I'm going to probably be doing that slowly. I apologize for that. But you can find that at www.stitcher.com. Like us and leave us a comment there. You can also leave us a comment on our Facebook page that you can find at www.facebook.com. Search for the Absolution Network. Like us and leave us a comment. And you can always leave a comment on the website itself that you can find at www.an.132productions.com. Of course, while you're there, remember to check out all the other 132 Productions content. That, of course, includes the Otaku Momentum, Shin Tiger Curl's videos, John Ramos' videos, and all the other podcasts from me that you can find there. That, of course, includes Tom Sprague of the Animation Podcast, my brand new intergalactic graphic review podcast with Edwin, Tom's Top 10, which I do plan to get an episode out this coming month. So many others right there on that podcast. Of course, my other podcast site that, of course, includes Comic Book Crazy, where you can find old episodes of my old comic book podcast, CMG's Wrestling Reviews, and, of course, CMG's Comic Book Crazy. This is CMG's Wrestling Reviews, but there you have CMG's Comic Book Crazy and, of course, Comic Book Crazy, the comic book podcast. Before that one, Spectacular Webs, and, of course, Hexcast, the only podcast dedicated to reviewing every issue of Jim Baelish's Tarot, Witch of the Black Rose. You'll find that at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. And, of course, my Tokyo SOS, a Godzilla podcast that you can find at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. Of course, while you're at it, last but not least, remember to check out my bosses, the Gene and Chris over at the Shaft Plus podcast that you can find at www.shaftplus.com. Of course, make sure you check out our sidebar and check out all our friends on the sidebar of the site. That, of course, includes Michael Bailey and Views from the Long Box, along with From Crisis to Crisis that he does with Jeffrey Taylor. Our good friend Spidey Dude and the Clone Saga Chronicles, Steven Syker and the Major Spoilers Podcast, and of course, Scott Gardner and the 22 Freaks Podcasting Network, along with many others that you can find on the sidebar of the site. So that is it for this episode of CM Juice Wrestling Reviews. And before I officially start the month of December and the months of Starrcade, here's what's going to happen. In December, I'm going to review two Starrcades, and I'm going to review two Armageddons. Because it's unfair to do one company over the other. And I'll tell you right now, two Starrcades I'm going to do are 84 and 85, and where the main event was Ric Flair versus Dusty Rhodes, because, again, that rivalry episode really wanted me to watch those pay-per-views now. And as for the Armageddon, I don't know. I only have one that I have planned, and that's towards the end of the month. I'm going to review Armageddon. I want to say it was 2001, where you had the six-man. It was either 2001 or 2000, but it was the one in which you had. It was 2001 where you had the six-man Hell in a Cell featuring Rikishi, The Rock, Stone Cold, Triple H, Undertaker, and Kurt Angle, the champion. And then there'll be one more thrown in there, and at some point I'll figure out which one I want to do. So that's what the outlook for December is. But I may have two, like I did this, or I may even have it tomorrow if I finish it. But I do plan on having one more Survivor Series review out. So join me on the next episode of CMG's Wrestling Reviews, wherein I review Survivor Series 2003. Yes, we're going to the next year because, ladies and gentlemen, we have to cover one of the moments in which the face of the WWE helped make people in the back realize that he was a superstar. What face? Who else am I talking about? Mr. Yes, the official face turn of John Cena during his Doctor of Thugonomics gimmick. So, ladies and gentlemen, along, of course, with, of course, Goldberg versus Triple H. We can't forget that. So, join us next time as we cover Survivor Series 2003. So, until next time, I want you to remember, my wrestling fans, one goddamn thing about me. CMG. I'm the best Jew in the world!
You're all that I have and you're all that I need. Every day I pray to get to know ya. Please wanna be close to you. Yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around all around, I believe it. I'm too negative, but I believe. Yes, I believe. I said I believe. I stand on my feet, one be brought down on one knee. I fight with all of my might and get these demons to flee. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Out of darkness comes light, twilight unto the heights. Crown lights burning up, out of the twilight. So thank you to my God, now I finally got it right. And I fight with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind. What's this feeling? My love will be falling and ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Time and start to feeling. What's this feeling? My love will be falling and ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Stripping away the layers and reveal your soul. You gotta give yourself up and then you become whole. You're a slave to yourself and them don't even know. Them wanna live that fast life but you're dreaming.